We're just going to carry on this morning, and I'm just going to be teaching for about 30 or so minutes. Then after that, we'll take communion this morning. We take communion once a month, so first Sunday of every month. So we've been looking at a series called Living Life at Your Best. Yes. Living Life at Your Best. Now, before I carry on, this isn't a motivational talk. And the reason I'm saying that is there are times that you switch on YouTube and you see these topics. Yes, you can make it in life. Yes, you can do this. As much as I love those things, this isn't one of those. This isn't one of those motivational talks. So what do I mean by living life at your best? This is the third part that we're looking at. What I'm talking about is the fact that God wants us to live a life that is not on autopilot. Now, what do I mean by a life that is not on autopilot? Well, a life that is on autopilot is one that wakes up every morning and just goes through the motions. You wake up, maybe you go to work, it's like, okay, I have to go to work, you go to work. Maybe I have to go to school, you go to school. And really, one is just living life with no real excitement, no real expectation. Why? Because life has dealt you a lot of heavy hands. And you're like, man, life is so challenging. And I'm just barely waking up to roll out of bed and just meet my obligations. If I don't turn up at work, my employer is not going to be happy about that. Or if I don't turn up at school, my teacher is going to be sending my parents messages. Or if you're like an adult learner, they're going to be asking. So you just manage to carry on with your life. And as you go through that kind of life, day one passes, day two, week one, and 1 year has passed. Before you know it, 2 years have passed. 3, 4, 5, 10 years have passed. And one looks at one's life and you can't really put a finger on anything that you've done that you were expecting to do. That is life on autopilot. It is a life that just rolls with the punches of life. It is a life that has given up on everything that it was expecting to do. Why? Because life has dealt, and it deals every one of us a strong hand every day. But God doesn't want us to live in that realm. He doesn't want us to just roll with the punches of life. He wants us to engage life, even though life is tough. He wants us to engage life so that we are living a life that is fulfilling to us. So what's fulfilling to me might not be fulfilling to you. But whatever it is, in our individual lives, He wants us to engage life in a way that we're happy to be alive, irrespective of how things are around us. You know, I was saying a couple of weeks ago that there are times that I wake up in the morning and I'm so excited and I'm asking myself, why are you excited? And I'm excited because I understand these principles of life, that irrespective of what's going on around me, there is someone who lives in me, God, by the Holy Spirit, that gives me this joy. So my life is not really dependent on my circumstances. Do you understand what I mean? That's how God wants us to live. Because if we do not live that way, all you have to do is just turn on the news. And the things that you'll be hearing, interest rates have gone up, gas bills have gone up. I got a letter about 2 months ago and from my gas company, and it says, due to economic reasons, so on and so forth, we value you as a customer. However, your bill has gone up by, I was like, hang on, what is the difference between now? So we look at all these things and they can really wear us down. But God says, no, those things should not wear you down. So what am I talking about today? I'm talking about living life at our best. So this is the third part that we're looking at today. Last week we looked at managing our emotions. The week before we looked at the fact that life is tough. Today we're going to carry on with the third part of living life at our best. And I've called this third part the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, why am I saying this? We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit today and for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to read a portion of scripture, then I'll go through the points that I have for today. The first portion of scripture that I'm going to read is John chapter 14 and verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. I'm reading from the NIV version. You can just go with me on that one, and I'll read. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So Jesus had been on the earth with his disciples. He had, for 3 years, he had looked after them. He had helped to pay their tax bills. He had helped them to really live life. And these guys were excited. It's like any trouble that came across their way, Jesus was there to help them sort it out. And they must have felt like they were on top of the world. You know, just going about with life. It's just like, for example, if, I know you guys didn't, you know, do this. It's like, for example, you have a kid in a playground. And during the lunchtime, maybe like high school or secondary school, and you have the small guy, and he goes into the play yard, and you have like a few guys, and they surround this guy, and they're like, "Give us your money, or we're gonna bully you." And this small guy just looks at them and says, "Don't make a move." Why? Because he knows that he has one big brother, you know, waiting around the corner. And once he just screams, "Help!" the big brother comes and sorts out everything. So these guys were on top of the world because Jesus was with them. I mean, the Pharisees came to harass them. Jesus would sort them out. Any problem they had, Jesus was there. So they felt invincible, on top of the world. Then one day, Jesus tells them, "Guys," I'm paraphrasing, "I'm leaving you guys." And at first, they didn't really understand what he meant. They said, are you going to Cabot Circus? Are you going to London? Are you going to, where are you going? He says, "No, I'm not going to Cabot Circus in London. I am leaving this world." And at that point, they were struck with panic. And they were saying, "Hang on. Who is going to take care of us? How are we going to survive? All these 3 years, we have left everything that we have to follow you, Jesus. Now you're telling us you're going away." I mean, that doesn't compute. Jesus, in fact, one of the disciples said to him, pulled him aside and said, "Don't ever say this again, John and Peter. Don't ever tell us that you're going to go anywhere at all." Because these guys were like, "Who is going to really help us in this world?" That's where Jesus now comes to this verse, John 14, 16. And he tells them, "Look, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever." Do you understand? So the first point I'm making here is this. Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to them at this point. And he says, "Look, guys," again, I'm paraphrasing. Jesus didn't say, "Look, guys." He says, "I'm going away, but don't panic. I know life is going to be really tough for you guys, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you guys forever." So the first thing we see here is this. Jesus is telling them that he's not leaving them on their own. He's sending the Holy Spirit to help them. But they really didn't understand what that meant because they were used to Jesus being there physically. It's like, "Holy Spirit, I mean, what are you talking about?" Jesus said that they would understand later. So the first point I'm making here is this. As a believer, you and I need the Holy Spirit to help us live life at our best. Now, we can live life as we're living life, which is great. God helps us. But we can live our lives at a slightly more enjoyable and fulfilled level as we begin to understand what Jesus has said about the Holy Spirit. Because this same Holy Spirit is here, present day, right now. So I'll mention a few things this morning. So we see Jesus introducing the Holy Spirit as another helper, someone that would be almost like Jesus being with them physically. And he says, this is what the Holy Spirit will be, who the Holy Spirit will be to you guys, even though you might not see him physically. So that's the first point. Now, the next point is this. Who is the Holy Spirit in this context? I believe that the Holy Spirit, even in our present day, is the most misunderstood person in the Godhead. Why am I saying that? I remember before I became born again, before I became a Christian, in my uni days, I had a friend who was a Christian. And this guy would be like, in those days, I wasn't born again. I got born again after my university. And this guy would be like, oh, let's go to fellowship. I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean fellowship? Don't mention, what does that mean? You know what I mean? And in my mind, I mean, I'd been to church when I was at home, because in my house then, when you were younger, I mean, you dared not say you're not going to church with my father then. Whether you were, unless you were at the point of death, then he would let you stay at home. But you just went to church. But I just went because I had to go. So this guy would go, let's go for fellowship, let's go. And in my mind, I'd be like, you're not serious. Although I didn't say that to him, I'm like, no, just leave me out of this. And do you know why? Because when they went to their fellowship, they were like Pentecostals like we are now. And you see guys, you know, praying in tongues and all these things. I'm like, man, this is really weird. Actually, this is spooky. I don't want to have anything to do with these kind of things. So a lot of us have the impression of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is some strange power. The Holy Spirit is almost spooky. But that's not how Jesus represented him here. And what even makes it more complex for us as believers? Let's even say, yes, as believers, we know that the Holy Spirit is with us. So you switch on YouTube one of these days. And again, I'm not knocking anybody. The way sometimes the Holy Spirit is represented is as if it is only the pastors, or if you're like a special person, that you can experience the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have these big meetings, which I love, and some of the folks will be like, oh, the Holy Spirit is here, and make it seem as if they have the full custodian of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. And the Holy Spirit is not just when one comes to church, or maybe when they lay hands on someone and they fall down, they know that, yes, the Holy Spirit is really moving in this place. Or, well, no. Yes, God does things that way. But Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit here as being someone that is with you and I, with the boy, the girl, the little child that is a believer. Why? So that we can live our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit, as if Jesus is walking by you every single day. So we have, a lot of us have a, probably not the full picture of the fact that the Holy Spirit is right with us, and he doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be complicated. So who is the Holy Spirit? The second point. Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Matthew chapter 29, verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God himself, part of God the Father, God the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there at creation as well. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Holy Spirit was there at right at creation. If you look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus up into this world, physically speaking. So we see that about the Holy Spirit. Now, the next point I want to make is this, which is the third point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, it says, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink from. So the third point I'm making here is this. As long as you're a believer, you're born again, the Bible tells us here that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Automatically. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Automatically. Do you get what I mean? Now, I'll move on. I have just a few points, and after that, we'll pray. So the question now is this. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, saying that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus to us. But we can't see him, but he's in us. So what is the point? How do we live life with the Holy Spirit on a practical basis? So that it's not just something we read about in the Bible, which is great, but someone that we experience life with on a daily basis. What are the practical things? I'll mention a few things. So the first thing we see here is this. The Holy Spirit is meant to bring comfort to us. We read in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says that I will give you another comforter. So we see here that whenever we're weak, whenever we're tired, whenever we're feeling stressed out, so to speak, the Holy Spirit can bring strength to us physically. He can bring comfort to us as well. Do you understand what I mean? The Bible also says something about the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truths. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. So the fourth point is we're looking at how does the Holy Spirit help us practically speaking. We're saying that he brings comfort to us. He helps us he helps us with our lives. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, also leads us into truth. He teaches us things as well. He shows us things to come in the future from a practical perspective. And I've given this example one or two times, and it still happens to me. There was once I was at work, and my line of work is, it can be quite strenuous because you have all these targets that you have to do and that you have to meet. And I remember that this was a while ago. I was working on a project with a team of people, and I was leading this team of people. And we're writing some computer code. And the computer code actually either works or it doesn't work. And my boss came to me week one. So they hired me on a contract. I think I was on a contract for 6 months or something. So they let me relax and all that. By the time it got to the third week, my boss came to me and said, how are you going with this piece of work? When are you going to finish it? This is week two. When are you going to finish it? And I said, give me 1 week. Those are our choir people practicing for the future. The younger choir folks. So my boss comes to me, and third week he says, oh, so when are you going to complete this thing, this task? And I said, give me a week and I'll be done. And my team, the people I was leading, they were working on it with me, but we couldn't get it to work. We could not get it to work. The next week, my boss comes and he says, or the guy that hired me for the company, oh, how is it going? You said you're going to finish it today. Is it done? I'm like, It's not done. Give me another few days and I mean, surely we'll sort this thing out. And the second week passed. And at this time, in my mind, I said, this isn't looking good. The people that I was leading, I think I was leading about five guys. And they were looking to me because, in quote, I was meant to be like the expert who knew how to do the things. You know how it is when you go for these interviews and they say, what can you do? And you say, me, oh, forget it. I can do what? That? Oh, no problem. So they were looking at me that way. So by the time it got to the third week that I should have finished the thing, I knew this isn't looking good. My boss comes again and he says, oh, so surely, and all that. And I said, it's not working. And you could see the disappointment in his face. And at that point, I said to myself, this isn't looking good at all. And you know this kind of jobs, they can just, because it was a contract, they can say, sorry, handshake, you're out the next day. And you know, mortgage is waiting for me. My children are waiting for me. That, all these bills are waiting. So what did I do? The guys under me started to panic. They're like, what do we do? What do we do? You know, I said, guys, let's keep on going. When it got to the fifth week and my boss came, I'm not even quite sure he asked me anyway. I think he sent me an email or something. You know, he's now getting a bit critical. I said, what do I do? Do you know what I did? I just remembered, hang on. In church, I was saying, I was saying that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus with us. The Bible says that he leads us into all truth. You know what I did? I just went into the toilet at our office that time. Went into one of the cubicles, shut the door, and I knelt down. I said, God, you know that if I don't get this thing today, that is the end of this job. And you said that the Holy Spirit will teach me anything I need to know. I said, Holy Spirit, now, how do I solve this problem? And within the twinkle of an eye, a thought just came to my mind. Like, try this. In a flash. And I said, really? I got up. Then I flushed. And I was like, what's happening there? This guy didn't flush before he came out. And I went back to my seat. And I went to my computer. I typed that thing, enter. And it worked. Oh, I said, my goodness. The guys came to me. How is it? I said, relax. I told them, relax. I said, relax. They said, how did you do it? In my mind, I said, Holy Spirit, man. So I said, is this how it is? That I've been cracking my head all this time. I said, never. Anytime this comes up, this is what I'll do. I remember of recent, another one. Someone asked me to do a project for him, and I started to do it. I just couldn't get it to work as well. Then I called another guy from church here. And I called him. I said, hey, you see this thing? This part, I don't really know it, but you know it. We started at 10 p.m. By 3, we were still going. And that went on and on. And there was something I had to deliver as well again. I said, I don't know this thing. And this man is harassing me to finish it or else. What did I do again? I remembered. No problem. And I knelt down. I said, God, how far? And that happened again. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is with us practically. Practically. Or there are times that there are things that I just don't know. Or I might be on my bed. And I'm like, God, how about this person, this thing that is happening? And the Holy Spirit will just bring it to my mind. And I will know exactly what is going to happen. There are times that I know what's going to happen in the service as well. Why? Because I ask the Holy Spirit. I remember there was once that we were we're talking about how the Holy Spirit will talk about people, tell you things about, well, not tell you secrets about people. You get what I mean? Just encouraging people. And I remember, I was like, okay, what is going to happen at the service today? And the Holy Spirit said, this will happen, this will happen, this person is going to come, and they will, there's something, and some other things. And on one of those days, we came to church, and I said, we're praying, like, we will pray in a minute. And suddenly, I saw someone who had, like, a toothache, but I didn't see the person's face, so to speak. We'll look at how that happens next week, so that everybody will be able to do that as well. And I just said, okay, there's someone who has like a toothache on their left side. And the Holy Spirit says, don't worry, it is healed in Jesus' name. And I left. And, you excuse me, my dear. And my daughter here, this was a couple of years ago, she came to meet me. And she told her mom then, it was my tooth, it was my tooth. And she came to me and was like, oh, Dad, it was my tooth that you were talking about. I was like, really? So it was you? So it was you. There was another person as well that came. I think, anyway, let me leave that part. But what I'm just saying is this. The Holy Spirit in us can bring us to the place where we can live life at our best. He can tell us things. He can bring comfort to our hearts, so that he's not just one spooky person who, or a force somewhere. He's the person who Jesus has said he is with you right now as a believer, and he's here to help you. So you don't have to go through life by yourself, just cranking up and trying to make it happen by yourself. No, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is here. And he can help you. Do you understand what I mean? So the last point I want to make this morning is this. So how do we get to the place where the Holy Spirit begins to help us in this way? Do we have to fast and pray for 30 years? Do we have to be this? We don't have to be any of those things. Although if you want to fast and pray, it's recommended. But no. The only thing you and I need to do to begin to access the help of the Holy Spirit is very simple. It's so simple that it sounds even unbelievable. Just ask the Holy Spirit and begin to be conscious. Anytime something comes along your way, ask. You might not understand the first time, the second time, but as you're conscious, suddenly you begin to know things. And that is it. Just being conscious of the Holy Spirit and asking. And that's it. Nothing extraordinary. Nothing complicated at all. Do you understand what I mean? So, I'm going to end here this morning. And what have I looked at? We've looked at what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit. He says he's the one that would help us. We looked at who is the Holy Spirit as the second point. We also said that every believer has the Holy Spirit automatically as we become born again. And I've said that the Holy Spirit helps us as individuals. Nothing extra, you know, nothing out there. And the fifth point I made is this. You can begin to experience the Holy Spirit as well. Just by being conscious of him and making a habit of asking him. Do you understand what I mean? So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise up and we pray. Brother Ugo, can you unmute the keyboard, please? So this morning, we just want to pray. And the prayer we want to pray is for ourselves, that God has given you and I the Holy Spirit. He's given us all that we need, but we're not conscious of it. We're not conscious of him. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just really ask that God will help us to understand the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can live life not just on our own strength, but with the strength, with the help, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's just spend that time praying this morning. Then after that, I'll pray for us as well. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to help us. You have said, do you not leave us comfortless. Father, we thank you because the Holy Spirit is not spooky. He's not just a force that is out there, but he's a person. But Father, we do not really know how to walk and access the friendship and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that you've given us for free. Father, I'm asking this morning that you will touch everyone that is here afresh. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will begin to make us aware and more aware of your presence in our lives. That you begin to make us more aware of your help in our lives. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Let's just reflect. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus, that you will help us. Father, I commit everybody that is here into your hands that might be going through one challenge or the other. I'm asking that, as you have said, that we should live life at our best by your help. I'm asking that you bring help into every situation in the name of Jesus. I'm asking that you will bring us to the place where we know the Holy Spirit more. And I pray for anyone who is unwell at this time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, it says Jesus bore our infirmities and our sicknesses. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says that by his stripes we have been healed. Isaiah 53 says that you bore the chastisement of our peace was upon you. I speak to everyone that is unwell. I speak healing to you, to your body in the name of Jesus. I speak peace into your mind. Everything that is causing you anguish in your mind, I speak peace into it in the name of Jesus. I bring the power of God to rest upon every situation that is troubling you in your life in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.